Yo, yo, what's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have y'all tuning in. We're on time this week. No late week show this week. We are on time, ladies and gentlemen. So what we're going to do before we get into the good game on today's show, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And don't you move a muscle, because the commercial break will be quick. So let everybody know that Tariq Radio is live right now. Don't move a muscle. We'll be right back.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Crispin, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
We are back. I told y'all we're going to be quick. We're back right here on Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Also, today's show is brought to you by my dude, Mr. Grimes. He's a poet warrior, and a spoken word artist from the shadows of London. He has poetry with a superhero and science fiction vibe. You can check out his album. It's called Rogue Against Automation. You can get that on iTunes, and you can get it on CD Baby. So everybody go support our London brother, Mr. Grimes, ladies and gentlemen. But we're here, ready to chop up game. I'm glad everybody's tuning in. A lot of stuff we're going to cover today. I can't wait for Jay Prince's book. My man Jay Prince, his book comes out, I think, Friday. So I can't wait to read that. My man will rap a lot of records. A lot of stuff is happening. I think the new Jurassic Park is coming out Friday. Have you guys seen the new Superfly movie? I saw the new Superfly movie the other day. I think I saw it on Monday. Me, Peanut, and my daughter went Monday. And I thought the movie was going to be corny, because when I first saw the trailer, I thought this was going to be like Belly Part 2 or some shit. I thought it was going to be corny. But actually, the new Superfly was actually pretty good. The new Superfly was actually pretty good. It was a pretty good movie. Well acted. Beautifully shot. The direct shot it. So, you know, it has that music video vibe, but it was a good film. So you guys, you should check it out. Shout out to Atlanta. I actually enjoyed the movie. You know, it had a lot of parallels to the original film. You know, they stayed true to that storyline for the most part, and you got to go see the original Superfly. You always should go see the classic, but it stayed pretty true to that. It stayed true to that to the point where one of the characters in the new Superfly, they had a dude named Big Bank Black. Now, Big Bank Black, he's a real dude from Atlanta. When I saw it, I'm like, damn, this motherfucker ain't acting. This is a real street nigga they got up in there. because I can tell by the lingo and the way dude looked, I'm like, you, that ain't a motherfucker you can cast. You can't cast that. You had to find a real motherfucker in the street. No, I ain't telling no spoilers in the movie, but you can tell that was a real fucking street dude. And that stayed true to the Superfly franchise, because in the original Superfly, they had real street dudes in there. As a matter of fact, they had it was a dude named Casey. I think it's Kansas City. It was a pimp from New York. And they had him do like a little walk-in role in the movie. And also the car that Ron O'Neill was driving in the original Superfly, that was this dude's car. That was a real hustler's. That was his car. So they stayed true to that original Superfly movie by having real, real street-connected dudes in the movie. But it was a good movie. You guys should check it out. I think they shot some parts of it at Rick Ross's house. The rapper Rick Ross, not Freeway Rick out here. Yeah, Big Bank Black from Duck Taking. He was good in the movie. That nigga was gangsta as fuck in the movie. He was good. He was very good because he was so authentic. His character was real, real thorough. But go check the movie out. Yes, Rick Ross bought that house from Holyfield. My man, L.A. Snow, used to live right around the corner from Holyfield. So when I used to go out there to visit my people in Atlanta, I would pass Holyfield's house all the time out there in College Park. So I'm very familiar with that area. But shout out to them. They did a great job in the movie. The women were fly. The clothes were fly. I liked it. You know, it's a movie about drugs and all that old shit. But, you know, it's a movie. You don't, you know, take heed to that shit and go try to do it in real life. Back in the 70s, niggas was trying to be Ron O'Neill in real life. Shout out to Brother Charles Smith for giving to the Melanoid Ministries. Much respect to you, brother. So what we talking about today, a lot of stuff we're going to talk about today. Again, people are still talking about XXXTentacion, the rapper who was unfortunately killed the other day. He was killed a few days ago while he was shopping. He was shopping for motorcycles, and then he got in his car, and then somebody came and killed him. And I posted a clip, XXXTentacion, and forgive me for mispronouncing his brother's name. You know, we found some clips of him doing some soft shoeing, and that doesn't justify the brother getting killed. But we found some clips of him on some what about black on black crime, we shouldn't complain about police brutality. He was on some of that shit, but he was also, he did some socially conscious videos. So I don't know what was going on with dude. I don't know what was going on in his life. It seemed like he was torn. I don't know. But there are conspiracy theories, and you know there's always going to be conspiracy theories about whether he faked his death or not. I don't think he faked his death, but there are some things that are interesting. You know, if we're going to put our tinfoil hat on, there's some things that I find interesting. One thing is, when you have a high profile murder like that, and the people, and it's supposed to be black people who committed the murder, but they do not arrest nobody immediately, I'm always suspicious of that. You understand that? I'm always suspicious when you have a high profile murder, especially of a rapper, and ain't no damn body arrested within 48 hours. Because if you watch the show First 48, you know, these dusty niggas be killing random Negroes, and they know how to find them within 24 hours. You know how to look at surveillance cameras. I mean, these dusty niggas who do these bullshit-ass crimes, these are not real geniuses who's doing this stuff. So they don't know how to not avoid security cameras. I mean, let's be real for a minute. Let's be real. Just like with Tupac and Biggie, let's be real with that. Understand, with Tupac and Biggie, they had law enforcement following them. They were both actively under federal investigation. The FBI, they were investigating them. I mean, Tupac, you can pull up his FBI record online. You understand? So they were actively being investigated by the FBI. But they act like they don't know who the suspects are. Now, somebody in the chat room said they have a suspect. I haven't heard anything. But again, going back to Tupac and Biggie, Tupac got killed in Vegas on the damn strip where there's cameras all over the place. There were cameras all around back then, back in the mid-90s. But for them, even if they have a suspect now, they must have just got him sometime today. But it's interesting. When I see stuff like that, I'm like, okay, now who's really behind the bullshit? Because this Ex-Tentacion, God, I keep butchering this brother's name, Ex-Tentacion, he did a video, if y'all remember, this guy did a video of black people getting lynched, if y'all don't remember. He was rapping while he was being lynched, and then in the video, and this rubbed a few people the wrong way, there was a black child and a white child. So he got a white kid, a little white boy, and put a rope around the little white boy's neck and hung the little white boy. And the white supremacists were real pissed off about that. They were real pissed off about that. They don't like to show any types of white deaths. That's a no-no. You don't show any kind of white death, white pain, or anything. So there was a little white kid lynched in his video. They didn't like that at all. So could this have possibly been a low-key revenge thing orchestrated by the white supremacists? Just a question. I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. Just a question. I question everything. I'm just throwing a question out there. I'm throwing a question out there. They don't like that shit. The white supremacists, they do not like to show themselves being harmed, especially by black people. As a matter of fact, if you look at social media, you look like on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, there's thousands upon thousands of videos of black people getting beat up, black people beating up each other, black people getting shot, just thousands of videos on a daily basis. But if you notice, if you put up a video of a white person taking an L, especially from a black person, they'll take that shit down. I put up a video on Instagram the other day, and Instagram took it down, and they take down some of my stuff every now and then, but they sent me a warning. They're like, if you put something up like this again, we're going to lock your account. It was a white supremacist, an old white supremacist calling a group of young, a black dude and a black girl. He might have been a teenager. I don't know how old the brother was. He calling them a nigga just casually. And the brother said, what'd you say? And it was an elderly white supremacist. He felt like it was comfortable to do some of that back in the day racism. So he called the black kid a nigga, and the black dude hauled off and knocked his ass to the ground and walked off. Now, videos like that showing black folks fighting the white supremacists back, those are immediately taken down. I want y'all to notice that anytime the white supremacists take an L, they remove the video fast. They do not like to see them taking L's nowhere on mainstream television, in movies, on social media. They don't like to see themselves taking L's. That's why the white supremacists, you notice, they had more of a problem with my movie 1804 than the Hidden Color series. Because the Hidden Color series, we're talking about general history. And they have a problem with that, you know. But with 1804, they really had a problem with that, because that was a bunch of white supremacists all taking a major L. Right there on a big ass screen, you're seeing them getting their ass toe up, which happened. It's a history film. And the white supremacists did get that work. That happened. Boy, these white supremacists were mad at me. They made all types of response videos like, oh, this fucking nigga, he's trying to start a race war. Oh, that son of a bitch, Tariq Nasheed and his dog whistles. Oh, they were on high alert with 1804. You dig? Showing the Haitians whooping all that ass. They don't like showing that. They don't like talking about it. They always talk about how poor Haiti is now, but they don't like talking about the Haitian Revolution at all. You dig? But the thing is, we got to understand that when it comes to other people taking L's, people don't like to show that. We're supposed to be the ones, black people, we're supposed to be the ones taking all the L's, taking all the abuse, and we're supposed to be the ones who can, we're strong enough to deal with it. It's that type of thing. And when other groups take L's, we are the people, black folks, we're expected to go save them. We're the ones supposed to come put our capes on and run to the rescue. We're supposed to be the super slaves, the all-loving, all-protective pet Negroes for the dominant society. Not just the dominant white supremacist society, but the white supremacist wannabes. We're supposed to be their pets. We're supposed to go run and help them when they're in need, even when they've done some things that goes against their own best interest. And that's what's going on now with this immigration child separation thing. And when I talked about this the other day, but I want to go more in depth about it. Right now, the media, they're talking more and more about how a lot of these Hispanic children are at the border. They're being held in these basically concentration camps. That's all they are. They are concentration camps. And it's unfortunate. Nobody's co-signing it. Nobody's saying that it should happen. These young Hispanic children, and notice it's the darker Hispanic children, by the way. I want y'all to notice that it's the darker Hispanic children being held, taken away from their parents. And from what I understand, Trump just signed something today that they're not going to separate them from their parents or whatever. I don't know what they did, but it's whatever. He just signed a bill today saying that he's going to stop doing it because there's been such an international outcry over these Hispanic children, these little dark Hispanic children, like some of them are infants, crying for their parents, being yanked away, being put in cages. It's a horrible thing. It is a horrible, horrible thing. But I say again, the Hispanic community, as far as that, you're going to have to hold your own nuts. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't care. Doesn't mean that we don't have sympathy. We do. I do. I care about the well-being of the children, but as far as us jumping out there in large numbers to fight for you, that's where you are going to have to hold your own nuts. Because, see, now they're all looking to us now. All of a sudden, black folks, we get our ass whooped and toe up, dragged, killed. Our children are being snatched from us and killed and just everything, and nobody sees where we are. Nobody sees us. Nobody knows about it. We got to beg, plead to get attention. Our pain is ignored, but the minute other groups start feeling some of that pain from the white supremacists who they wanted to get down with, who they were betrayed by, all of a sudden they discover us. That's why I'm team hold your own nuts. I don't like that fair weather one-sided, will come around only when we need you bullshit. I ain't with it. Now, understand, the kids are going to be all right. This is going to be a little traumatic for them, but they're going to be all right. They're going to be all right. But the thing is, they're going to have the parents. And when I say hold your own nuts, I'm talking about the parents. Because I'm not in the pet Negro business. And we got too many black folks out here putting on capes. All the quote-unquote, I won't even say black leaders, but black spokespersons, they're all rocking the capes. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee.
Let me just quickly say that when you have a mother tell you directly that she's in fear that she will never see her child again, and when the United Nations Human Rights Commission indicates to the Trump administration you're violating human rights, then you know that what we are saying today is President Trump, cease and desist, because you are moving the arc of justice to the heap of despair and the trash heap of injustice.
So there you go. I mean, they got all the black spokespeople, not leaders, because just like Neely Fuller says, we don't have black leaders. We have spokespersons. And y'all know Representative John Lewis. Oh, they done paraded him out all over the place. John Lewis, They got him everywhere. Eating. Hold on. This John. Morning,
a nation is crying out to save our little children. Save our babies. History will not be kind to us as a nation and as a people if we continue to go down this road. We must stop the madness and stop it now. There was a man by the name of A. Philip Randolph who was the dean of black leadership during the 60s when we were planning the March on Washington.
Oh, he kept saying maybe they always got to. Every goddamn thing, they got to whip out John Lewis so he can compare every other person's struggle to the March on Washington, to civil rights. They always do that. They bring out John Lewis to compare everybody. When the gay club got shot up, when we marched back then, I had on a rainbow thong. Anytime anything happens to any other group, they bring out John Lewis to compare that group to the civil rights movement and the black struggle, which is a completely unfair analysis. It ain't the same. I'm sorry. It ain't the same. And what's interesting, all of these black spokespersons, and they didn't got Oprah. She didn't spoke out. I mean, they didn't got all the big black folks. You dig? None of these people say none of this shit for black kids getting fucked up out here. These people don't do all these speeches for black kids and black people getting shot in the back. I don't want y'all to miss that. I do not want y'all to miss that. They don't do all that when it comes to black folks getting harmed. They do not do that. Please don't miss that. Let me play some more with John Lewis. Hold on. Y'all bear with me. Hold on 1 second.
Fathers all came to this great land in different ships, but we all are in the same boat now.
Barbecue.
Our little children. Our babies.
Our babies.
Our young people are crying out for help. We need help. For members of Congress. We can do better.
Time has expired. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Pennsylvania, Mr.
Our babies. Old. Nigga. That sounds like masses we sick. And look, I'm not saying that those children should be in those cages. I ain't saying that. But that's massa we sick talk. You dig? That's massa we sick. Our babies, okay. What do you mean our babies? What do you mean our babies? I would like clarity on that. I mean, our babies. Okay. And again, I'm not being insensitive to those children. As a father, no father wants to see any child fucked up in the game like that. You don't want to see that. But damn, this nigga they don't have that kind of ownership to black kids who are getting fucked up. You never hear them talk about that with black children. You never see them get on TV, none of these representatives, you never see them get on TV and say, our babies are being shot by the police, our babies. They don't give us that kind of ownership. They don't give our children that kind of ownership. That's my problem. See, that's that slave shit. Because slaves, during slavery, what they would do, they would neglect their own children to look after the children of Massa. They would look after Massa's kids. So their own kids be over there starving and sickly while they're taking care of everybody else's kids. That's Uncle Tomism and Mammyism. That's slavery. That's the same shit niggas did in slavery. Oh, and my little white baby sick. Ooh, my baby. You is kind. You is smart. You is important. That's that Help shit. The movie The Help. You don't never see them take that kind of ownership to black kids. When it comes to black children getting harmed, all of a sudden it's kumbaya. Well, all lives matter. nobody, peoples of color, minorities. It's all of this old abstract ass bullshit. It's the people of color, minorities, people in California. It's never my babies are getting killed. Our babies are getting shot in the back by race soldiers. Never. We gotta take these damn coon capes off. The coon capes are flying out here. And the thing is, my thing is this. Y'all sitting up here talking about our babies and all that. The reason why I'm letting these parents hold their nuts because these parents took a gamble with their children. Even when they get over here, they take a gamble for team white supremacy. And then when team white supremacy betrays them, then they want to come to us. I want y'all to understand. Listen, this is a person. This is one lady, Hispanic lady. And I want y'all to listen close to what she says. Hold on. Where is it? Let me find it. Because she's about to get deported. She's the a wife of a veteran. And I want y'all to hear this lady. Her name is Alejandra Juarez. And she's the spouse of a Marine veteran. And they said she's about to report to immigration for deportation. All right? I think she's down in Florida. But listen to her.
Duran, 1998, 20 years ago, I came here illegally. I re-entered, and I'm still here. But I'm asking the government to look at my record and to look what I've been. I'm not, my mistake doesn't describe the person I am today. This has been so hard on us because my husband voted for Donald Trump. And
Did you catch that? Did y'all catch that? My husband voted for Donald Trump. Her husband voted for Donald Trump. She came over illegally, but she's been here for 20 years. Her husband voted for Donald Trump. And y'all notice a lot of these people, right when Trump got elected, they started, you know, with the ICE and the immigration and all these people rounding folks up. And a lot of those people were, well, I voted for Trump.
For Donald Trump.
Hold on.
Because my husband voted for Donald Trump. And we feel betrayed.
Oh.
You know, Donald Trump says that he loves the military. If you watch the news, every time that he can, he says, I love our military. We have a great military. So by this administration deporting me, what message they sending to the military? That they don't care about their families? Like, you said, this country, you might have get killed, but by the way, I don't care about your spouse or your husband, if, you know. So,
Well, you should have thought of, I ain't trying to hear all that. Oh, I'm not trying to hear all that, because y'all know what Trump was about. You thought he was, you knew he was team white supremacy. You wanted to get some of your little white supremacist goodies. You thought you were going to be the honorary white supremacist. Because y'all been shitting on the black folks or the dark people in your own country. So you were going to come over here and do the same thing. And it backfired. I'm betrayed. Black people, we in this together. Oh, no. Now we all in this together. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. And I've said this before. I'm tired of African people, of black people, constantly saving so-called Hispanics and Latinos who are trying to be team white supremacy. Now, I ain't talking, there's a few of them out there who's anti-white supremacy, but unfortunately, too many of them are team white supremacy. I'm tired. Black people are tired. Do y'all let, and I've talked about this before, historically, black people, we keep saving them. We've always been the buffer between the indigenous people of this land and the Spanish. When the Spanish first came over here, you know, Christopher Columbus and all those people, they had all types of Moors with them. When they started to hit the American soil, the Spanish brought over a black dude named Estevanico the Moor. He was a black dude, and he was the buffer between the Spanish and the indigenous people. So he would save the Spanish from being killed by the indigenous people. So we've always been a buffer. We've always been there in the middle, saving people. And let's go back down there to Mexico. I talked about this before. You had a black man named Gaspar Yanger who helped beat the damn Spanish off the so-called Latino Hispanic people down there in Mexico. They were getting their ass whooped. It's always the African people coming through whooping ass all through South America. Even in Brazil, you had a brother from Angola named Zumbi who got the Portuguese off the people's ass down there. That's where capoeira came from. That brother was using some of that OG capoeira and beating the fuck out of the Portuguese, and that brother ran up into the Maroon communities. We've always, as African people, saved the Latinos and Hispanics from the white supremacists. We've been doing this shit for 500 fucking years. Even Vicente Guerrero, one of the first presidents of Mexico, was a black dude. He had to go get them out of there and stop slavery in Mexico. It was the brother who had to do that. Historically, we keep saving them from the white supremacists. Obama's ass. All the way to Obama. Obama was saving you. Obama was throwing you a bone, giving you safe places, coming up with the Dreamer program, saving you. God damn, I'm like Tyrese. What more do you want from me? Black folks keep goddamn saving you from these damn white supremacists, and you still team white supremacy, and you still line yourself up with them, and every time they smack you in your goddamn neck, you turn around, well, we're all in this together, we're black and brown. Now you brown again. God damn. We can't save you no more. The capes are off. We can't save you anymore. You got to hold your own nuts on this one. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but y'all made that bed. Y'all voted for Trump. Too many of y'all voted for goddamn Trump. Y'all voted for the person, and then you talked about you feel betrayed. Yeah. Well, white supremacy, it's kind of an evil thing. You wanted to be a part of an evil empire, and then you got upset because that evil empire turned on you. Well, that's how evil works. See, you can't line yourself up. You can't align yourself with evil. You're going to have to reject that shit. I don't want to hear anything about how the white supremacists then turned on you, and you were perfectly fine with it. You were perfectly fine when it's happening to the dark, dark, dark people. You're cool. Now that it's happening to you, all of a sudden you want to go hug up with the dark folks, and, oh, this is just a travesty, and you get all the civil rights coons and the mammies and the bedwinches. Well, all of us ain't on that. All of us are just not on that, and that doesn't mean that we want to see children being harmed. We don't. And I want to talk to black folks who got their cape on, because there's Negroes like, now hold on now. Hold on now. Now, Tyreek, just because those babies, them is our babies. Our babies is in them cages just because they mamas and they daddies a certain way. That don't mean these are children's. That don't mean that we do not look after them children's. And I say to you niggas, what's in it for you? What's in it for you putting your cape on right now, going out there running into the front of the rally, running out there just you cape flapping in the wind? What's in it for you as a black person? What you gonna get out of it? I want to know what y'all gonna get. What you gonna get out of it? Because when you point this out, boy, niggas, the caping is just phenomenal. Niggas just be caping left and right. What are you getting out of it? Hold on now. Wait a minute. Those are babies. Our babies. These is our babies now. We can't let that happen to our babies. You dig? And you get nothing out of it. It's not going to be reciprocal. Y'all acting like they're going to turn around and somehow show you some kind of humanity. You act like they're going to turn around and start caping for you. When has that ever happened? When has anybody from any community or the Hispanic community in large numbers ever, ever, ever caped for black issues? If it hasn't happened already, it ain't gonna happen. The thing is, y'all think that you're gonna get some brownie points. You're gonna get you some coon coupons. you think that you're going to get a pat on the head, because that's really what it's about. A little pat on the head, a little Latino cooch, a little Pedro penis. You dig? You think if you cape, you're going to get a little love from the Latino community. That's what y'all think that's going to happen. And understand this, family. When people come around talking about that black-brown alliance and all, that has never happened. That has never happened. And what's interesting, when people try to talk about a black-brown alliance, they oftentimes try to bring up the L.A. riots. It was the black and brown together. No, it wasn't. There was no black and brown alliance during the L.A. riots. I'm from L.A. I was out here during that time. Let me make some shit very clear. Because the thing is, the majority of people who got arrested were actually Hispanic. It was like 51% of the people who got arrested during the L.A. riots were Hispanic. So they tried to make it seem like there was this big black Hispanic uprising. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. I'm telling you the real deal. During the L.A. riot, understand, when Rodney King getting his ass whooped, nobody in the Hispanic community, none of their organizations spoke out against that. Nobody spoke out against that. They were perfectly fine with Rodney King getting his ass whooped. The thing is, when black folks went to the streets and started whooping ass, when black folks were yanking motherfuckers up out of cars and putting in work, then all the Hispanics jumped behind us like, yeah, we got to win this together. Then they start getting free shit. So that's the alliance. We were out here in the streets, and I'm saying black people as a whole, black folks was whooping ass for justice, and then all these other people out here grabbing up free shit. There was no alliance. It was just the system had broke down temporarily. Then all these other groups saw this as an opportunity for them to piggyback off some shit they didn't really give a fuck about in the first place to get a bunch of free shit. That's why there was a running joke with a lot of comedians for a long time that all the Hispanics didn't even know who they were rioting for. They were like, God damn it, what happened to Rodney Dangerfield? They didn't know who they were rioting for. So there was never no black-brown alliance. They didn't give a fuck about no Rodney King before or after. It was, okay, society broke down, black folks out here whooping ass. Where we? Shit, I need a flat screen. Go get it. I need a sofa bed. That's what that was about. It was free shit time. They cared about the free shit, and that's the relationship that we have with them as a whole. We whoop ass, we go out here and do all the fighting, and they come along and get free shit. That's the relationship that we have. That has always been the relationship we have, even in the 1960s, when black folks out here whooping ass, the Watts riot, putting in work, all these other groups were sitting on the sideline. I don't want to hear about no brown Panthers or whatever, the Brown Berets. I don't want to hear nothing about these groups, because people like to bring up, well, there was the Brown Panthers, all of those other so-called brown groups. Many of those were fucking COINTELPRO FBI agents who were sent in to get information on brothers and bring them down. That's why when you see all of them so-called Brown Berets and all these people come in the mix, that's when these groups started to fall the fuck off, because they were being infiltrated by all these other folks. Let's be real. Ain't no black brown alliance, never was on a large level. Now we have individual friends. Hell, I got a lot of individual Hispanic friends that I'm hella cool with, but on a large social level, no, there's no coalition, never was. Even on the street level, no, the Mexican mafia, they aligned themselves in the prisons with the Aryan Nation. As a matter of fact, in the 70s and 80s, the Mexican mafia, they were working with the Aryan Nation to take out hits on Bloods and Crips and shit, for drug territory and all this stuff. Now let's just be real. I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting for everybody else. We out here fighting and then they go and grab the bag. We got to do all the work. We got to take the bumps and the fucking bruises. We got to get our heads bashed in. We got to put our reputations on the line. We got to put our resources and our audiences out there in the forefront. And then they come along and grab the bag. And all of a sudden, we're in this together, my brother. I saw another video of John Lewis. He had a little Mexican boy all hugged up on him. These are our kids. These are our babies right now. Little old Hector right here. That's one of our babies now. I mean, we caping heavy. We caping heavy out here. We got this old one-sided ass bullshit that we feel like we're obligated to cape for everybody. And it's never reciprocal. Now, as a matter of fact, one of the largest Hispanic groups, the La Raza, the National Alliance of La Raza, I think that's the name of them. We got to understand that when, and I want to make sure I got their names right, because they go under a different name now. They La Raza, their name is what is their name? I think they changed their name. The National Council of La Raza. That's the biggest, that's the largest Hispanic advocacy group in the United States. But it's another name. They changed their name. Or Aduza US is something. I can't think of the name right now, but help me out in the chat room. Let me know what their new name is. But it's the National Council of La Raza, the largest Hispanic organization, civil, quote unquote, civil rights organization in the country. And the National Council of La Raza, they were criticized back in 2012 for not speaking up for Trayvon Martin and not speaking against George Zimmerman. They didn't do anything. And they were criticized for that. Some of y'all got short memories. I don't forget shit. But they were criticized for not speaking up, for not speaking up in the Trayvon Martin case against Zimmerman. And boy, they did some ducking and dodging. And one of the spokespersons, and this is an article from CNN. This is an article from CNN. And I want to read this to you real quick, just a little part of it. One of the spokespersons, Lisa Navarrete, she said in a statement when people were criticizing their organization, La Raza, for not speaking out against Zimmerman, they said, well, as for why La Raza has not been more vocal about the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman incident, Navarrete said, behind the scenes, the group has been showing its support since the beginning. Despite the perceived tensions between blacks and Latinos, although La Raza has largely been out of the spotlight during the controversy, other Latino groups have stepped up to show their support. On March 20th, the Congressional Hispanic Caucus released a statement, asking for the Department of Justice to pursue the matter as a federal hate crime. So they released a statement. But they never got out there in the forefront and really did anything. And notice that, well, we did something behind the scenes. Well, we're not going to be in the spotlight, but behind the scenes, we're doing a lot behind the scenes. Well, guess what? Now that people in your community, you're going through what you're going through, I'm not going to get out there like John Lewis. I'm not going to get out there like Sheila Jackson. I'm not going to get out there like that. But I'm going to be out here being vocal behind the scenes. So I'm doing something, but I'm just doing it behind the scenes. So that's what you got to do, family. When it comes to other folks, do that shit behind the scenes. Do just like them. Don't be out there getting your head bashed in and getting on TV chanting and rocking your cape. Do the same thing they do. Just do it behind the scenes. Not that I don't care. I'm doing it, but I'm just doing it behind the scenes. You dig? I'm praying behind the scenes. So when somebody say, well, how come you didn't do? No, I did something, but it was behind the scenes. That's how we got to do, black folks. So you understand? It's not that we don't care, black folks. We're just going to have to do things behind the scenes. That's how we're going to take care of that. We're going to do it behind the scenes. We don't need the spotlight. We're just going to do it behind the scenes. As y'all, these other folks hold their own nuts in front of the scenes. Because the thing is, family, our children are still being killed out here, and these folks ain't saying nothing. You don't have the Hispanic groups and the Asian groups and none of these other groups stepping up to the podium saying, well, our children, our babies are getting killed by these police, our babies. You don't have that. There's a teen yesterday who got shot in the damn back out there in East Pittsburgh. This little boy, innocent. He was innocent. He was running for his life. Him and his friends, they knew the race soldiers were going to do something to him. They start running. And one of them got shot in the back and killed. 17-year-old child. Got killed by some race soldiers. Yesterday. In East Pittsburgh. And y'all got to understand this, family. And from what I understand, they're talking about having a protest and all that. Look, we got to cut that protest shit out. There's... ain't no protesting, family. Family, there ain't no protesting. The days of protesting, those are over right now. This is warfare. This is why we got to save our energy for us. Because nobody's going to align themselves with us. So we need to save every drop of our energy for our own community. We can't fight everybody's battle. We got too much of a battle at home with our own children dealing with these race soldiers. We're going to have to start thinking militaristically. Because we're talking about having a protest and having a march and all that old stuff. No, we got to understand when it comes to our children being harmed, there's nobody to march for. Who are we marching for? Who are we protesting to? There's nobody to protest to. We got to start thinking differently. We got to start thinking differently. That's why we shouldn't even have our children out like that. And I keep saying this to black folks. Black people, we cannot keep having our children out like that. Your child, no matter how old they are, if they're underage, they shouldn't be out and about by themselves. Or just out and about, period. Unless they're doing something constructive, going back and forth to work, or you know where they are. But we're in another environment right now. These people on some racial cleansing shit. And understand, black people, we got to understand this, and I want black folks to really understand this. Like I said earlier, they love seeing black children get harmed. That's something that the white supremacists, they get a sexual rush on seeing non-white children get harmed. Specifically black children, but non-white children in general. Just like with all these brown Hispanic children being put up in cages, the white supremacists get off on that. Understand, there's a bunch of, you know, you got a bunch of bleeding heart liberals and all that stuff, you know, speaking out against it, but there's a lot of white supremacists who are perfectly fine. They like seeing those kids in cages like that. They get off on that. And understand, in this country, this country was built on abusing babies and abusing children. Black children were being abused nonstop, being sold, being harmed, being raped nonstop. This country was built on that by the white supremacists. I'm telling y'all, man, y'all don't understand the depths of depravity when it comes to white supremacists. Black folks can't really wrap their minds around how evil and demonic and depraved these white supremacists are when it comes to shit like that. They get off on black kids getting killed. That image of Trayvon Martin dead, that circulated. Oh, the white supremacists were celebrating that. They love black children getting harmed, black kids getting beat up. And they like to see other black folks do. That's why they love World Star. They like to see black young people beating the shit out of each other. They like that. World Star is something that's populated by them. That's something that they go to every day. They love that shit. But even back in the day, they would give alligators, they would feed black children to alligators and make jokes about that. That was funny to them, seeing black babies get eaten up by alligators down in Florida. Black folks really don't, you can't really wrap your mind around how fucked up the white supremacists are. That's why I'm because I study white supremacy on a daily basis, and this is why they don't want you studying white supremacy, because you'll start seeing how fucked up they are and how There's just no morality with a white supremacist. Trying to preach morality to a white supremacist is trying to talk to a brick fucking wall. And they know that you'll come to that conclusion if you study them enough. That's why they don't like you studying them. That's why I get criticized all the time, because I teach black folks how to study them. These white supremacists rape their own kids. They do all types of sexually deviant shit to their own children. They've always done that. There's a reason why they would want black folks to raise their babies back in the day. Even now, even not back in the day, even now. There's a reason why they always getting some old black mammy to raise their children. They know black folks got enough damn sense to not be doing anything janky to the babies in large numbers. They don't even let their own watch their children like that. You understand? They know how sick they are. Black folks don't. Y'all still out here caping for Zaddy. You think you're going to cape for Zaddy and everything is going to be all hunky-dory. And you see in the news recently so many of these white Zaddies killing these sisters and killing their kids. Have y'all seen that lately? There's been an uptick in that. Y'all getting with Zaddy and he's killing you and the kids. That was a white supremacist down there in Texas this week who just got caught for... He killed a, I think she was a white lady who was dating this black dude. She had a baby by a black dude, and he killed the lady, the black dude, and their child. The kid was 5 years old. He killed him and burned him up. This happened this week down there in Texas. They ain't taking no prisoners when it comes to kids. But you getting shot, black kids getting shot in the back and slaughtered on film, because they'll show that all day. Those are free snuff films for these white supremacists. And understand, the white supremacists, they pay big money for snuff films. Are you guys familiar with snuff films? Snuff films are films that these sick, demented white supremacists make where they rape people and kill them on film. There's a whole market for that. For years, they tried to pretend that snuff films were a myth. Those shits are not a myth. They've been doing this shit for the longest. They used to sell them on the underground market. Now they sell them on the dark web. But I want y'all to understand, these white supremacists make money. They actually make films of them raping and killing people and put them on the dark web. There's a guy, a white supremacist, who was just arrested recently. His name was Peter Scully. This sick bastard was over in the Philippines making snuff films, where he would get Filipino children, rape them, and kill them. He would even have the children dig their own graves before he killed them. And he was selling these films, the streams of these films, for like $10,000 a pop. But this white supremacist from Australia named Peter Scully, he's doing life in prison in the Philippines now. And the shit he did is so demonic. I can't even describe the shit that he did in the film. He did a film called The Destruction of Daisy, where there was like an 18-month-old little dark Filipino girl with him and some other accomplices. They made a film where they were raping this 18-month-old girl. They were cutting her fingers off. I can't even describe. And I haven't seen the film. I have not seen it because it's illegal to even see the film, and I don't want to watch the shit. I don't even want to watch the fucking shit. I saw on like a Filipino speaking website, I saw a screenshot of the girl. They just did of a little girl, and the girl looked like one of my fucking kids. It was a screenshot right before the torture began. I'm telling you, nigga, that shit fuck with me, for real. I'm like, that shit fuck with me. It's some real demonic ass shit. I'm telling y'all, man, even the police, when they uncovered this case, the police who saw the video of what happened to this little girl, they were having nightmares, and it was fucking with them for months. You understand? Yeah, I don't even want to go into detail about this shit, dude. I don't want to. But the fact that this white supremacist was doing this shit, and there's a market of other white supremacists who like seeing that type of bullshit, and then you want to turn around and go lay up with Zaddy? You want to go get you a Zaddy? You understand? This is why I go so hard on these fuckers, man. We don't understand the depravity level of these white supremacists. We can't negotiate with these folks. We can't sit up here and protest and beg them to stop being demonic. This guy's name is Peter Scully. That's his name. I'm letting y'all know the shit you're going to, if you look some shit up about him, I would say just take my word for it and just don't even fuck with it. That's my man, because the shit you read, it's going to fuck with you. It's going to mess with you. Just take my word for it and don't. Trust me, it's some disturbing shit about that story, man. It's real disturbing. It's real disturbing. But the thing is, family, we got to understand what we're dealing with, and we got to be in a position where we say, fuck that. And like I always said, it's going to be black people, black Americans, who are going to be the ones to really stand up to white supremacy for real, for real. Or I won't say black Americans. I would say black people in the Western Hemisphere. I'll say that. I will say black people in the Western Hemisphere who will step up and stand up to white supremacy. We're the greatest threat to white supremacy because we know it. We've been around it. We know the weak spots. We know all the weak spots. We know all the strong spots. The thing is, we just got to get over that fear and stand up to it and stop trying to cape for everybody else when our shit ain't right. We need to cape for ourselves. We need that energy for ourselves. And I say the U.S., the black people in the Western Hemisphere, and I'm not trying to negate brothers and sisters living in the U.K., brothers and sisters living in the Netherlands, brothers and sisters living in Africa, whatever. But the thing is, I think we have a better grasp here. Like I said, the world has become a plantation. America is the big house. So we're the house Negroes. So the house Negroes, we understand the mechanisms of slavery a little bit better. Whereas a lot of people who are over in Africa, because you're not dealing with the white supremacists on a daily basis, you're like, well, shit, ain't no white supremacy. I don't even see no white folks, but it's the white supremacists who's controlling your economic structure there. Because you got a lot of African brothers and sisters who be like, oh, I ain't never been enslaved. And I'm like, what country are you in? I'm in Nigeria. Brother, you enslaved now. Where are my Nigerians? Where are my Nigerians? Because Nigerians, you think you ain't enslaved. The British still control your economy. They control your economy right now. They go over there and send in Boko Haram. They can control the military. They can go in there and do whatever they want to do. You got to beat down the door to get in their borders. They can just walk in. They can just hop off a boat and go over there and be running shit in 24 hours. And y'all know it. Let's be real. Let's stop scamming and bullshitting. You dig? Like Neely Fuller said, black people got borders. Or non-white people are the ones with borders. The white supremacists ain't got no borders. They can walk anywhere they want to walk. Just like that Peter Scully dude. He left Australia because he finessed people out of money in Australia and went right to the Philippines and started getting access to people's children immediately so he could torture them. You understand? But let's be real, the white supremacists can go anywhere in Africa, just walk in there and the black folks are going to gather around them and prop them up like they're Jesus. The Negroes, let a white woman walk in. Boy, them Negroes going to be hounding that woman, running around trying to get at her, and let a white man run through there. Let a white man go through Nigeria. Do y'all know how many Nigerian weddings I see with a damn zaddy, a chocolate-ass sister with cake soap all on her face with some black-ass hands sitting up there with a zaddy wearing a fucking kente cloth. And if you say something about it, oh, you're hitting, you're a hater. I ain't no hater, Umchuke. I don't want to see you get fucked up in the game. You niggas don't want to see my joy. When we point out, hey, you need to watch out for zaddy, Umchuke. You niggas don't want to see my joy. Y'all talking about we hating on you. We trying to warn you about Zaddy. Then Zaddy done shot your ass. And then you, why didn't you warn me about the white man? Why did I need a black man to help me? So now you sound like the Latinos. Once you get your ass whooped, we're in this together. Now we in this together? That's what, bad witches be doing shit like that. They sit up here, all on YouTube, they be caping for Zaddy and kissing white ass, and when white Zaddy turn on them and call them all types of nigga bitches, all of a sudden, where's the black men? The black men need to protect me. Oh, no, 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 ma'am. No. I'm over here with my toxic masculinity. I can't do shit. You got to hold your own little bedwinch nuts. You got to hold your ovaries, bedwinch. I'm not saving you. After you done said I'm a toxic masculinity ass nigga. We beta males and we ain't shit and we this. No. And then when Zaddy lets you know how he really feels about you, all of a sudden, you want me to turn into T'Challa. No, no. No, ma'am. Go right back over there with the Latinos. I ain't got nothing for you. And Umchuke over in Nigeria be doing the same thing. I need protection from the black man. No, 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 no. You got protection from Zaddy. You got protection from Zaddy. Now go ahead and use some of that cake soap so you can go get you another Zaddy and get the fuck on out my face. You dig? Man, man, man. Anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here, man. Anyway, thanks. And let me shout out to everybody. I'm about to go. Shout out to everybody who gave to the Melanoid Ministries. Let me look up here and see who gave. Shout out to the family. We work hard here to get good information. We work hard. Shout out to, hold on, my thing is freezing. Shout out to Neo Kush. My brother gave $50. Charles Smith, shout out to Charles. Brother gave $100 for the Melanoid Ministries. Much respect to that, brother. Everybody, you guys can go to melanoidnation.org. We can continue to build, continue to contribute to the work of the Melanoid Nation. Also, you got to get your films. Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 at hiddencolorsfilm.com. Hiddencolorsfilm.com. Also, you got to get the movie 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti. You got to get that. If you don't have that, you're slipping. You got to get it for your babies. Your babies, you got to get it from your babies. You got to get it for your babies. It's suffering. You got to get it from your babies. So get it for your babies. You understand? 1804movie.com. 1804movie.com. Y'all follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. And I'm going to holla. I'll chop up with you guys this Sunday on Ustream.